This application be concluded.
All in favor? Approved. Carried.
Okay.
All right.
Item 2 is a rezoning at 666 Jesse Avenue under file DAZ 201 of 2010. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing and the following items will also be heard at the same time. Item 3, a conditional use under file DCU 102536 of 2011-D, and item 4, a variance under file DAV 102541 of 2011-D. So we'll call the applicants down.
Thank you. Yaron Walter and Ernie Walter.
Here.
Where are you hiding? Come on down. I hear you. There you are.
Hi there.
Hello, hello. Welcome.
We're ready to go?
Ready to go.
Okay. We're here to address the proposed design for 66 Jesse Avenue, 666 Jesse, on the corner of Jesse and Jesse and Hugo, opposite the convalescent home that's there, one house in. We're currently building under project management for clients the house 668 Jesse. I will speak to that briefly. And as many of you know, in this neighborhood, we have done over 40 condo townhouse infill projects with great success and a great contribution to the neighborhood. I put up that first slide there to show you the floor plate size of the one that is currently under construction, which is the one bottom Hugo, and then followed by the one up top, which is of lesser scale and size, but very similar. And in fact, with feedback from the community, from those we did talk to, we further reduced the size of that plate, floor plate, and that second building in feedback. All limited as it was, the feedback we got, we did reduce, and that was from the neighbor immediately to the east of there. And that was expressed to there. I will certainly want to talk to you tonight about our history in doing infill architecture. I would like to talk a bit about the importance of infill architecture to a city and to this neighborhood in particular, because it is of strong interest to me. I want to talk to you about working with a neighborhood, and certainly we are very actively involved, have been actively involved in the secondary plans for the neighborhood, actively involved in the neighborhood in general as a firm. I want to talk to you briefly about the importance of green architecture and why a city has to have infill architecture, because it's the only place you get an opportunity in the urban area to really significantly contribute towards green architecture. And as people know me for, I will talk to you about the desire to live in Little Italy. It's a pretty important part of our city, and it's an image the city has to telescope out to others who want to come to the city, and most of all, who we want to remain in this city. And Little Italy is very much a part of that. I want to talk to you as well about what the city does with derelict buildings, because it is a concern. And I know you deal with it in other neighborhoods, and it also happens in good neighborhoods. And this is one of the circumstances it does. And briefly about the cost effectiveness of trying to convert an existing multifamily or single family, mostly multifamily units that are already in a neighborhood, and trying effectively to convert them to a good piece of architecture and a good home for people with today's standards in terms of both the municipal, province, and federal building codes. They've made it almost impossible to successfully create a green piece of architecture, a good piece of architecture, without tearing down the existing. And the other factor is the value of land has exceeded, in many cases, the value of existing homes. Let's start then with the discussion about ourselves as a firm and our contribution. I have a. These are homes that we've worked on in the past. That's 710 Warsaw on the bottom. There's a huge transition to the neighborhood in there, but a very successful conversion of an old grocery store into there into two, I would say, high-end condos, townhouse condos. Next. 67 Warsaw, 673 Malvey. That is a single-family one, contemporary in nature, but is it was the results of a house that had to be torn down in there and replaced with a rather exciting single-family home. Down below, 674 McMillan, the corner of Hugo and McMillan, and certainly it's received its fair share of publications and write-ups as a significant contribution to the little Itney neighborhood. 759 McMillan, that's unit one and unit two, a conversion of again a house that was almost beyond repair. But I'd like to comment on that one for the reason that you couldn't do that house today. You couldn't restore that house today. The code requirements would make it prohibitive. We did it then, but the code changes in the city of Winnipeg now in the last 3 to 5 years. It's just been tremendous in trying to bring up the quality of construction. One below is one again. It's been written up a fair amount. That's 874, 885 Gouverneur. And a large and rather exciting house as a result of our work in the neighborhood. Next. That's a McMillan property again, and that's an example where we're able to take a house that we could save and had a lot of good, solid architecture to it, and we did a great job in renovating it. We want to see those type of homes done if we can in a neighborhood, and that's a perfect example. Here's another one at 906 Dorchester. It's in the construction stage right now. Same type of thing. That's a triplex in there. They're all 1,500 square footers. And sort of like 668, we won't have it finished, and our clients will have it sold. And I want to go from there. That's a history of ourselves, like 10 samples of we've done. We've done 40 in the neighborhood. I think most people know that and work extensively at it. And many of that, by the way, is people come to my office and say, we've got a house, we'd like to do it. We do those at a cost to us. We do them because we love the neighborhood. We're very active in it. We like it where it is. 668, next door to this, is my own home. I think that's one under construction right there. That's my own home. I do look forward to my own sculpture garden in the front yard. It's part of Little Italy. I do hope that people wander from the Piazza area over to and through my front yard and enjoy what they can see and what they can do. And I certainly will, opposite, will be on the avenue enjoying it for what it is. That gives you an idea of the scale of the house that we're doing there. That's three condos in there. They're, all three are townhouses. They all have their own private entrances. They all are in the, well, the smallest is the 1,400 square feet. The other two are 1,600 to 1,700 square feet. They've all sold in excess of $425,000. It's a significant contribution to the city. It's a significant contribution to the tax roll, and it's certainly better than a building that had to be torn down. In fact, the city was putting a tear-down order on it when we took it over, and when our clients took it over. I want to talk about Richard Florida for a minute, and I know some of you have heard me talk about it before. He's a very important man in how people think and how cities grow and how cities survive today. Richard Florida is likely the most Canada's foremost and certainly the original author of The Creative Class, but he's also an individual who is a leading urban sociologist and world famous for his role in there and world famous for his lectures. He talks about the importance of a city having an area that is innovative, having an area that people will want to stay in. If they sell their house in East Kildonan, they sell their house in Fort Garry, they sell their house in West Kildonan, They want to stay in the city. They want to stay in active area. They want to stay where they can as empty nesters in an area that's alive and pulsating. And that's what Little Italy is about. That's who buys the type of homes our clients hire us to design. And that's pretty important. He talks also about if a city doesn't have an innovative area like Little Italy, where people can see change to a city, see progressiveness happening, the people with the 2 degrees and the families with 4 degrees, they don't show up. People don't come to cities anymore on the basis of wages alone. People come to a city because it's an exciting place to be, an exciting place to live. Little Italy represents that to Canada in general, and it shouldn't be forgotten. It's part of what your leadership as councillors have to assess when you're going through. In working with the neighborhood, I said before, we're actively involved as a firm in the neighborhood. And in this case here, we met with the only neighbor who responded. We've handed out over 90 flyers, pamphlets for the project. And having met with the neighbors, we made, as planning will know, we made significant changes. We pulled the building back in from the lane. We reduced the setback on the balcony areas for privacy across the lane. We opened up the wall more for light to the 664 neighbor. We made a smaller plate, and we increased the setbacks. We worked with the privacy walls as well and reduced the height. Those are considerations that came from the feedback. I only wish we'd have more of that coming in. My office is on the avenue, as you know, it's a walk-in office, and anybody can come in and talk to your runner eye anytime. City needs to have infill. It works in two ways. As you know, it deals with the fact that you have property that is devalued, a property that is not worthy of the neighborhood it's in, and it also provides the opportunity to provide green, new architecture. It provides the opportunity for people to say, you know what, I really kind of like to live in Little Italy. And we received a phone call yesterday, which is kind of interesting. We received a phone call yesterday from a couple with a one-year-old child who live in Kingston Crescent on the river. Where they want to live, they've asked us, do we have a client, do we have anybody who will do a 3,000-square-foot duplex so they can have part of that duplex? That's the desire that's being perceived by people in the city. Now, I talked before about keeping your empty nesters in the city. That's generally who's coming to our projects and who want to be there, empty nesters. Some are business people, some are raising families, but mostly. But the fact that younger people want to move to the neighborhood with a family and they want a large duplex, that's a pretty strong statement about the city. I don't know if I have anything more to add. Would you like to add something? Yeah. There's the new 666 Jesse. It's almost identical to the building form going up next door, smaller in scale, because it is bridging the gap between the convalescent home, which is a three-story brick and glass, to the first one, 668, is larger in scale, and then it goes down to the smaller scale building next to that again. And to help people visualize that street, it is a street of a combination. It's a combination of the MTS building across the street, a vacant parking lot across the street, piazza right opposite these buildings here, and a brick apartment building built to the property line on the other end of the street, as is the convalescent home on the other side. Each of those are the first floor units, so everybody understands the plan of it, is a townhouse that really goes straight through front to back. The other two are townhouses stacked on top, with a space in between and outside patios both in the back and in between. And then the one in the front has a patio in the front and a patio in the back as well, picking up the south sunshine and the view of to the piazza. Yeah. Oh, yes. That sketch was done before consultation, and that upper floor deck on there where the arrow is pointing has been removed. So, that's it? I think so. That's it.
Ernie, I have a question.
Yes.
I'm just, in the report in front of us from the planners, they are suggesting a larger setback in the backyard setback than what you've applied for.
No, we've removed, we took it down to the 668. We had a large, we started out with one before. It's now been reduced by substantial.
So that's been reduced to, that's really what I'm asking is, are you in agreement with
the
administrative recommendations?
Absolutely. I mean, it's Councillor Gervasi, it's one that I've said to Mr. Robinson as well, it's one I won't stop pursuing in terms of urban living, urban architecture, because I think it's important to be able to have that very usable space out there, to pick up as much south sun as possible in that neighborhood. But I was convinced otherwise, and in discussions my son had with the neighbor, discussions I had and my son had with the planner, we drew it and pulled it back in.
Okay, and then the neighbor to you immediately next to it is the one you're saying you did respond to the consultation and you did talk to them.
Yes.
Are they in support of this now, or do they still have concerns, or do you know?
I don't know the answer to that, but I do know that it was certainly through his consultation that Yaron met with him on a couple of occasions, talked to him on one or two occasions, and we pulled it back from there. In discussions also with Mr. Robinson.
Okay, and he is here, so okay, so we'll hear from him. Now, you say you sent out 90 flyers, and only one person responded to the flyer, is that?
Did you knock on doors? No, we sent out the flyers. Our office is right there around the corner,
yeah.
So it's easy to drop in. I got one phone call. I called it five times. Never got an answer back on it. I hate to say it, but we got somebody who just let off on the phone with unkind things. And then the other was from the conversation with the gentleman who is next door at 664.
Okay. Thanks. That's all the questions I have for now. Thank you.
Thanks.
Is there anybody else in support of the application that I'd like to speak? This should be your time. Going once. No. Seeing none. We'll carry on for people that wish to speak. Now, when I call your name, first of all, is there anybody in particular that the group has a designated voice, maybe, that we have? You all have an opportunity to speak, but you don't necessarily have to. If someone has already said what you want to say, we do hear it. But if you have a designated speaker, they can come up first, or I'll just start off the list. Starting off the list? Okay. Patricia Halbrow. And again, my apologies if I mispronounce names. I'll just call off three names, and then I'll do another three after so you can sit and relax. But the people I do call off, if you do wish to speak, just indicate you wish to speak by coming down. Otherwise, I'll assume that you don't wish to speak at this time. Miriam Rudolph. And Shirley Forrest. Oh, I'm sorry. So you guys organize for a sec.
Okay. Good evening, Councillor Gervasi and Councillor Orlico, ladies and gentlemen.
Can you just state your name just for a record?
Patricia Holbrow.
Thank you.
I am appearing in opposition to the proposed rezoning item DAZ201/11 and the construction plans for the property known as 666 Jesse Avenue. I am the owner of 662 Jesse Avenue, where I have lived in my 100-year-old home for 20 years. While I welcome appropriate, congruent infill housing and restorations and renovations that blend into our neighborhood, the proposed rezoning of a small lot to accommodate a triplex and the proposed replacement of the current single-family dwelling with a three-family complex violates the character of one of Winnipeg's most pleasant older neighborhoods. First, because this is being promoted as a sister development to the corner one, I'd like to share a little bit of history of that property, the corner one, as best I know and can recall it. I first appeared before the Board of Adjustment in opposition to a rezoning application in August of 2002, 9 years ago, almost, in response to a placard indicating that the then owner wanted to have a multiple family designation while other houses in the area were going in the opposite direction and being returned to single family as the neighborhood was beginning to pick up. I found it an intimidating process after sitting through the other hearings scheduled for that evening. I had to return 2 weeks later when it was put back on the agenda to give the owner or the management company that I think that represented the owner extra time. And when no one appeared at that time either to defend the application on the second date, the panel finally reluctantly decided to listen to me and view the photos I had brought. I was made to feel like a nuisance while the owner was being shown favor and given extra consideration. Since the house and yard were not being maintained, I was at least successful in getting some cosmetic improvements ordered. And the impression I got was that no one had expected that there would be a response to the placard. The house continued to deteriorate, and I was relieved and pleased when I learned it had been sold with a plan to redevelop it, but was clearly too trusting that it would enhance, not dominate, our street. When it was placarded again a couple of years ago, it was not possible for me to investigate the proposed plans adequately enough to voice a strong objection. I do remember the original plan called for cutting across the boulevard and building to the Hugo Public sidewalk, among other variances. That plan was turned down, I believe, and I was told that the revised plans were an improvement over the original, and I trusted that it was going to be something that would be appropriate. Now we are seeing what that inattention has visited upon us, a building whose footprint consumes most of the lot and whose height dwarfs the neighboring story and a half and two-story homes. A three-story plus construction now looms over our homes and yards, blocking both sight and light. Today, the rezoning application to allow the proposed construction at 666 is before you. Having seen the consequences of naive inaction and learning a sad lesson, I do not want to see this mistake repeated. When the house at 666 was sold a year ago, I thought perhaps the property was going to be joined with 668 for one construction. But then the house at 668 came down, followed this winter by an excavation, and now the triplex. Meanwhile, the yard at 666 was and continues to be used to store equipment and materials, so in the absence of any communication, one could only assume that 666 had been sold to the same developer or whomever he represents. His existing constructions that I am aware of are on corner lots, and while not fitting into the surrounding neighborhood, and in the case of 668 now causing us considerable distress, at least they haven't shown up, to the best of my knowledge, on adjoining properties. But now, it's a second lot from a corner that's up for rezoning. I believe that this would set a dangerous precedent. I believe that this would be the thin end of the wedge. Who knows how many other sisters might spring to life if adjacent property owners perhaps find the corner construction so threatening to the enjoyment of their property that they decide to sell up and move out. Currently, there is one house between me and the proposed new one, and I couldn't live with being barricaded in my backyard along my yard's west side. If allowed to happen to the second lot, why not the third, and so on? This is not appropriate community development, the kind which respects the existing neighborhood. In addition, there are to be parking spaces, three, I understand, at the back of each of the constructions, but I can't see how three will fit where the rest of us can only park two. I use one of mine for dumping snow, and I'm wondering where that will happen if there's three cars strung along. There will not be any place for that. Cars also need to make a sweep to fit into parking spaces immediately off the lane. How will that be accommodated? Condo owners often have more than one car, and there isn't adequate street parking to support the residents of Jesse now, and this will be exacerbated by these high-density developments. We are a community of people who appreciate and maintain our heritage homes. We are also a community of people who keep an eye out for each other, as I did when I contacted the developer before he incurred possible liability, to alert him when the safety fencing around the excavation had collapsed, exposing passersby to potential danger. Swallowing up entire plots of land speaks to me more of greed than ethical and aesthetic architectural theory and practice. And while I'm sure the condos will be delightful to live in, and these constructions will benefit the city coffers in the form of increased property tax revenue, although perhaps not the levy that was being spoken about today for frontage, to allow the rezoning and construction is the antithesis of preserving a distinct neighborhood and maintaining the well-being of its current and, in many cases, long-term time residents. I entreat you to disallow this rezoning application, which would permit the planned construction to go forward. Thank you very much.
The question, John?
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Thanks, Pat. I guess I'm just wondering, is there a scale of development on that spot that you would feel would be appropriate? I mean, it's difficult to just, you know, to say you don't want what they're proposing, right? So what
well,
would be acceptable?
I guess, I mean, we were given the plans, the planner shared the plans with us, and that's really all we've had to go by. So I thought that what we were here to do was to speak to that and in my case, object to it because of the scale of it. I think there's lots of examples around in the neighborhood where there has been infill housing done that blends in, doesn't just stand out like a sore thumb, where there's been a restoration across the back lane from me, a 100-year-old plus home, maintained the outside of the building, and of course fixed it up, but sort of gutted the place and did a good construction there, so it continues to be a single-family dwelling. So I'm absolutely in favor of infill, but I think it needs to be done in a way that's respectful of the neighborhood that it is being constructed in and what's around it. And I don't feel that this is either of these. And I've had an experience now seeing this one coming up, and the pictures I'm just passing around are a few that I've taken from my yard indicating, you know, what's down at the end where it used to be open to Hugo and the light that's going to not be there now, and then one more to come in next door to it. I'm just really concerned about the neighborhood, and I guess that's what I need to say.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. No. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good evening, councillors, planners, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Miriam Rudolph. I'm here with my husband, Terry Hildebrandt. This is our neighborhood. We are tenants at 664 Jesse Avenue in Fort Rouge, and we wish to register our protest against the proposed rezoning and construction plans for the adjacent property known as 666 Jesse Avenue. We have been living in the upper suite at 664 Jesse Avenue since 2007. Sorry about the dark image. They were a bit brighter on my laptop. We're the third house from the corner, and we're renters on the upper floor. We consider ourselves very lucky to live in the neighborhood, and we love it here. I'm seeing your puzzled face. This is an older image prior to the construction, so where the house is at the corner is the new construction that has been built already, and the center house is the building at question. 666 Jesse Avenue. Terry and I are both professional artists, and the aesthetics of our neighborhood matter to us. And even though we're only tenants, we take pride in being part of our neighborhood community. Shortly after we moved in, for example, Terry painted the house commissioned by our landlord, and I enjoy taking care of the yard in summer and having a little patch of earth where I can plant some flowers. We also participate in the tree banding every year because the trees constitute such an essential part of this neighborhood. In my own artwork, I deal with themes of neighborhood, as you saw in the first image, and a sense of place every day, and it matters to us what is happening on the properties next door. One of the main perks of our place is a beautiful little screen porch towards the back of our apartment. Since it is on the second floor, it is right at tree level and gives us some green space and sun exposure during summer and fall. This porch was the main reason why we decided to pay a little more rent instead of choosing a different and cheaper place. In this image, I want to point out, again, this was taken 2007 prior to any construction. You can see through to Hugo Street. When we sit on the porch, we can see people walk by, we see traffic, and it's just a source of light for us up there too. And with the construction of the condominium complex at 668 Jesse Avenue, a large portion of our view, and more importantly, afternoon and evening sunlight have been obstructed. What we are really opposed to is the construction of a similar building at 666 Jesse Avenue, right next door, which would mean having a three-story wall running along the backyard and also next to our porch. I'm unable to measure it accurately, but my guess is that the structure will obstruct sunlight in summer at about 3 to 4 p.m., while until now we had direct sun exposure till about 7 or 8 p.m. and brightness until much later. This will greatly affect the quality of that porch, considering we often come home only after 5 p.m. from work. I love growing plants up there too, and less light will affect the plants. This porch is our only south side exposure to light. And since there will be windows on that east wall of the new construction, that would mean a loss of privacy for us and for the surrounding backyards, because they'll be residents will be overlooking the backyards of the surrounding properties. Next image. I'm also concerned about the trees in our backyard that provide the green space around the porch. This is the second shot of the porch since the construction. As you can see, the view towards Hugo Street has been obstructed with that wall. The new structure will be approximately where that stuccoed white patch of wall is. So it'll be, my guess is, approximately 2 meters from our screen, just the wall going right by. Okay, next image. I'm also concerned about the trees in our backyard that provide the green space around that porch. They're situated relatively close to the property line, and with the proposed structure, they would have to be pruned extensively. With any digging for the construction of a larger structure on the neighboring property, the roots would inevitably get damaged. We are tenants at 664 Jesse Avenue, but this is our home, and we feel that the quality of our living space will be greatly reduced if the rezoning of the property next door goes through. We were unaware of how extensive the change to the property at 668 Jesse Avenue would be when the public notice was put up last year. At that time, no flyers with construction plans were handed out in the neighborhood, to my knowledge, to adequately inform residents of the proposed changes like it was done this year. In our opinion, the structure that is proposed now, that has been built and that is proposed now, they do not fit proportionately or character-wise into the neighborhood. We would be happy to see appropriate renovations or construction of a one-family dwelling next door, since we have had a fair share of not-so-pleasant neighbors with loud parties, heavy alcohol consumption, verbal abuse, and police involvement. It seems the rundown building attracted a certain clientele. We welcome improvement, but not the kind of structure that will cost us our own comfort and will destroy the character of the neighborhood. Thank you very much.
Can I just ask, when Mr. Walter was up here, he said that he talked to someone in relation to 664. Was it you or was it the person who owns
that? That was our landlord who lives on the main level. I believe he will be presenting tonight.
He'll be presenting as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. So you didn't talk to him, though, yourself?
No, I haven't talked to him.
Okay.
Hello, ladies, gentle counselors. I haven't really prepared very much. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. I didn't get a flyer.
And just state your name for the record.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Shirley Forsyth.
Hi, Shirley.
I didn't get a flyer. I got an email from my neighbors. And
what's the address, Shirley?
644 Warsaw Avenue. Did I miss anything else?
Nope. Those are good. Thanks.
Sorry.
You're doing great. Very well.
Okay. I live at 644 Warsaw Avenue, and I guess I've been concerned about some of the... I'm surrounded by Ernie Walters and his projects, quite literally surrounded. They often take a long time to build. This one is going quickly. There's usually garbage all over the place, and then he moves the garbage from one place to the next and leaves it piled up. Yes. Anyway, he showed quite a few pictures of places he's built them surrounded. There are some problems with the high-density ones. There's a lot more traffic in the back lane because when you get, I don't think you could park three cars there, but if you have three condos, there's often two people in a condo. Nowadays, often two people, there's two cars. Well, if you had both of those buildings, that's potentially actually 12 cars, which means they're going to be parking on the street, and we don't have any room on our street now. We've lost parking spots with the speed circles that have gone in, so we've lost park. So there's less parking and more cars, a lot more traffic going up and down the street. Those condos take up almost the entire lot, and there's really no, the water from the sump pumps, there's no place for it to go. To the best of my knowledge, he's not planning on using gray water for watering any lawn or looking after anything because there is no lawn to look after. The water will be, and I've had this experience with one of his other buildings, when the water goes out into the back lane, when it's storming, and then there's lots of water already coming down, and it's almost 6 inches going over the sidewalk because the water just comes out in huge gushes. So it's not going over the sidewalk, it's going into the back lane and then over the sidewalk. And then it freezes in the winter, and it's very slippery and difficult to walk. Well, I guess people have talked about shade, so I wouldn't talk about shade, but it certainly will affect, I think, the housing properties next door. My house is down from a house that was currently already there 30 years on the corner, very three-story, and I didn't realize that when I bought my house that it would block the light, which it does. The front of my house does not get light from the middle of April. It gets light from the middle of April to the middle of September. After that, there is no light that touches the front of my house. So it makes a huge difference. You cannot grow plants inside in the back. So, I mean, there was no shade study done, but it would be really useful to see a shade study and see what it's going to, how it's going to affect the neighboring properties. If they do take down the old house, my neighbor just had his basement rebuilt. He's a lovely neighbor. But there were problems when they were taking down his foundation, like windows in my house broke. Things fell out of the cupboards. It was, he has a lovely house, he's a lovely neighbor, but it was not an entirely pleasant experience. So what else I've mentioned? And accessibility. We have had people move out of our neighborhood because they're getting older, they can't do steps, they need to find an accessible, visitable home. And if there was a new house there, which would be wonderful, it would be nice if it was green. In other words, it dealt with the sump water and the green yard and the things that these condos do not do. And if it was accessible, in other words, the city has the same guidelines they use for the city guidelines for sort of non-residential property, which is, I think, 43 1/4 inches. So you can actually get up the house to visit. Or if you're in a wheelchair, you could go see you could visit the home. Right now it's 2.5 feet, which means if you have a friend in a wheelchair, they will not be able to visit you, which is really sad. And I guess that's it. Thank you very much.
Councilor Zabrowski, any questions? No. Thank you very much. Okay, I'll call again. If you're more than welcome to come down unless someone has spoken already with your points. Jan Swayze, Dennis Swayze, and Patty Boyce. Wish. Are you okay? Hello, welcome. Some handouts? Yeah, clerk will come and grab those for you. Thanks. Use my power of deduction here, Dennis?
Sorry?
Dennis?
Yes.
Go right ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, councilors, this is going to be pretty short because Pat pretty well said it all. We're here in opposition to of course, the new structure that's being proposed to 666 Jesse. We feel that it's just way too oversized. Mr. Walters has already said that he's already done some infill housing that are single-family homes, which would look great there. Now, I don't know how the councillors would feel, but you can see by the pictures, if you're looking out the back into a three-story wall, how would either any of you like to live next door? Can you honestly tell me that you'd be happy to? So I think the city would be making a big mistake if they allowed this construction to go ahead. It doesn't matter if he kind of shortens it up or whatever, it's still going to be a monster building on a single-family residence. So basically, like I said, it's going to be short and sweet. Pat basically said it all. So okay. From the pictures you can see, from the PowerPoint you can see. So thank you.
Thank you. Councilor Dress, any questions? I don't see any. Jan, would you like to say anything you add?
Good evening, councillors.
Just if you may, is your name?
Neighbors. My name is Jan Swayze.
And address.
And I live at 650 Jesse,
thank you.
Which is about the middle of the block down from 668666. They go down by two. Basically, well, of course, I'm in opposition to this monstrous building. If in hindsight, as Pat. Pat has basically said all. I'm just going to emphasize I never dreamed that a three-story building was going into. We just missed the boat. In hindsight, we had our chance, and I don't, you know, guess some other priorities took. Or we just didn't. We actually didn't really know about it. But so when this huge building went up at 668. We can't do anything about it. My husband said if we win a lottery, we would love to tear it down and put a park in. But the chances are better be me being struck by lightning. But everything that's been said, I agree with everyone that's spoken in opposition. And the only item I can add, I'm sure it has been said that it's going to destroy the character of the neighborhood. We can live with these two bookends, as Mr. Walters says, that there's the Jesse block is at one end, and there's this huge three-story front to back. We have to live with it because it's there now. So it's going to destroy the character. And I didn't bring the book along, but there is a book. And it's goes back, actually, that's a coincidence, 1978. It was Alan S. Berger. That's the year we moved into our house. So we've lived on the block for 33 years. I've lived in Fort Rouge all my life, grew up in Riverview, but now 33 years on the block, and we feel like we're relatively the new kids on the block, but I think there's some that have come in after us. So Alan S. Berger wrote a book in 1978, The City, Urban Communities and Their Problems. And I'm sure it's, you can nod if you know what I'm talking about, but there is some, when neighbors feel trapped, when the population gets so dense, that's when problems start. And when neighbors feel threatened and you don't know your neighbors, I didn't bring the book along, but it was very, very interesting. So there was just one more thing I was going to say, but I hope it's... definitely. I'm in support of infill green housing, a single dwelling. I mean, that's where we were in a single dwelling, and we're empty nesters now, and still plan to live in the neighborhood. And this just breaks our heart.
questions? No, not seeing any. Thank you very much. I think Patty didn't come down. Patty's okay. Russell Boyce. Derek Single. Pass. Derek Single. And Terry Hildebrand. Pass. Okay. We just have one more to go. Yeah. And you want to do before we hear back from Karma? I mean, from Walter? Up to you. Just tell me what you want to do.
Good evening. Councillor Gabassi, Councillor Ortolco, Councillor Smith, who was not here. Michael Robinson. Yaron and his father, Ernie Walter. To all the concerned citizens, I am in opposition to the largeness of this proposed development. I've got 21 pages here. I don't wish to take your time and read it all. I believe less is best. I spent 2 hours talking with Yaron, 2 good hours, and I appreciate it. Michael Robinson, you spent an hour with me, and that was a long time, I felt, and I appreciated that, too. I learned a lot about city bylaws by going and talking. I understand the difficulties of an architectural firm in taking an existing property and turning it into something beautiful. The house next door, like mine, has a stone foundation. It's difficult to try and take an existing home with a stone foundation, old, creaky walls, and make something of it. So I understand their dilemma. They have to do something that's cost-effective. On one hand, I welcome rising up a beautiful place from homes that have been that have become decrepit, as was 668 and 666 to some degree. I believe the other people that went before me have spoken adequately, and I'm not going to say a whole lot more. I am for development. I'm for renewing our neighborhoods. I have one problem, and that is with the largeness of it. I'm actually amazed that nobody really took the time to go down to this firm and look at some of their plans and talk to them, or for that matter, city planning. I'm not opposed to a three-story structure, because if I was, it would show my ignorance, because three-story structures are allowed in this neighborhood. So I can't oppose something that there is no reason to oppose with our zoning and planning department. I do oppose the largeness of it, and in keeping with less is best, that is all I have to say. I'm open to answering any questions.
Councilor Gabassi?
I guess that's a dilemma. Is that the height is sort of allowed even under our zoning, but yet there seems to be a concern about the scale, I guess, of the project, that it's large. Do you have any feedback you could give on what would be an acceptable size. Is it the size, or is it the number of dwellings, or, you know, just some guidance here? That if there's,
well, I have a conundrum as well. My place is, in 95, this area was rezoned down to single family from dual. And I'd be a hypocrite and not wanting another two-family home there when mine, is, in fact, is the same. It's the size. I would like it to be two-story, but there's no restriction. You can have a three-story. I don't think anybody here might even know that.
Yeah.
We have to be consistent and...
But without reducing the...
If I was a developer, I wouldn't tackle a home like that, because to try and have something that's profitable, have something that's meaningful to an existing buyer, you're running that battle. I'm caught between wanting change in the area for getting rid of some of these homes, like the ones that have been run down that you cannot do anything with.
Mm-hmm.
It's to me, it's the footprint size. The height is a problem no matter what. If you build a house, I mean, they could build a 2,000 square foot single family and set it back on the lot and knock my vision down as well. I don't live there. I can walk away. I can sell it. I can get another renter in. The renters I have upstairs, they're not renters to me. You know, I look at Miriam and Terry as I would my son and my daughter. I want the best for them. I want the best for the neighborhood. I want Yaron and his father to keep on developing. You know, they have great insight. I spent 2 hours in their offices.
But yet you're recommending that we turn this down, though, because you feel it's too large. So I guess I'm just trying to get some guidance as to what you would think would be appropriate to approve if you were in my shoes, if it was up to you.
It's not up to me.
You're lucky, but yeah.
And if I had to say right now, mm-hmm. I have to walk into my house tomorrow, and if I say something tonight, it might not be there tomorrow. I'm caught between wanting progress, and I'm caught between the immediate people there. If I say yes, build beside me, build a 2,000 square foot single condominium, that they could do. It wouldn't be profitable because you've paid for a home or a house, not a home, a house, so many dollars, and you've got to knock it down and start afresh. That's why you're sitting in the chair and I'm standing here.
Okay, thank you.
Just to follow up on that, so what I'm hearing, and I respect the fact that you understand, and you are saying exactly the problem that we face here, you know, the wanting to develop and allow neighborhoods to become, you know, vital and exciting, while also maintaining the character of these neighborhoods that are historic and have lots of history and passion behind them. And that's a problem that we face quite a bit, especially with Councillor Jabowski's ward and my ward being such historic neighborhoods. But what I'm hearing, the concern you have is not really the rezoning, but really it's the variances that they're requesting. And those are the ones that allow the massing to happen on the site, where instead of a permit lot of 3,000 square feet, instead of 5,000 square feet, you know, front yard of 18 feet instead of 25 feet. Those are where the massing comes into. So those aren't really, and that's what I'm hearing your concern is, the amount of massing on the property. Yes, it can go up, but it takes over the whole property. It's very large in context with the rest of the community. Is that correct?
Yes, I'd rather play with basketball players with size 10 or 11 feet like me rather than a size 26 and a half.
That's correct. So to be fair. Yeah, because your field is
seriously.
Yeah,
if they want to move that up to 20, I mean,
okay.
I don't want to see a tiny little thing going there where, you know, and they keep building things like that, and they're hard to, you know, invite people to the property. It's the length going down to the back lane.
Yeah.
Okay. And as well, all the other concerns that's, you know, the other people have voiced.
Yeah, fair enough. Good. Thank you. Okay, if there's anybody up there in the gallery that hasn't spoken that wishes to speak on this matter? Seeing none, I'll call the applicants back down to make any comments they wish. And rebuttal? Only the information that we've been presented from the other group. That'll be it.
So my initial comment is I wish these meetings could take place before,
yeah.
and I would love it. I think that I'd like to comment relative to the individuals that have come in.
Please.
But I'd also like to comment Mr. Singel's appearance because I happen to know he's not feeling well. And when he came out tonight, that says a lot. There's concern for the neighborhood, and I respect that a lot. The comparing of architecture, I just have a tough time with that. I mean, I've done some beautiful buildings in that neighborhood. My son and I worked, studied old color, studied traditional color forms, studied character of window details. We've done some very, very mature restorations of older homes where we could. I mean, 788 Grosvenor Avenue would be a perfect example at Wellington Crescent and Grosvenor. We were able to add a townhouse to that, make it work because we could fire separate them properly and get by the bylaws that way. But a beautiful restoration for the city. 760 McMillan Avenue, same thing. Up there. You know, that top one, it's not a good enough shot for what's there, but that's a fabulous restoration. And that house had all the character inside. It had intricate wood detailing throughout it. It had built-in units around the fireplace. Beautiful stuff. You save that. You don't want to ever take that down. Don't want to. But as Mr. Singel said before, you know, the city was condemning 668, and 666 is right behind it. Our client walked into 666 and was going to rent it in between while this process was going on. He wouldn't rent it. I mean, so they've got to put that in perspective. This is as for the difference of comparisons between one architecture or another, well, I'm not going to get in a debate with a fashion designer as who's a better fashion designer, and I like yours and I don't like the other. I mean, it is a statement of design, a statement of fashion, and variety is part of a city's fabric. It just really is. As for the comments about arriving home after 5 and not seeing the sun, well, it's true regardless because that sun is gone at 3:20 on the south side. It's gone. And it wouldn't be there anyway. So I'm not sure. One of the, you know, we've got, if there's east windows, we've divided the two townhouses apart deliberately so light goes through, breezes go through in there, because there are two separate townhouses sitting there. Yaron and I just talked about upstairs. I mean, if people are concerned about it, we did narrow the lot, and I haven't talked to the planner about this, but I'd be prepared to make two green walls on the back townhouse. I'd prefer to turn those right into green growing walls adjacent to the lots. I mean, that's the type of person. I love that type of architecture. I'd love to do it. And that would be worthy of consideration. Trees was mentioned that. You can count on us saving the trees. I'd turn the building and twist the building side, or I'd do some step in to make sure that we'd save the tree. I'm not about to. I have the claim to fame of having a home before that. When the people bought the home afterwards, they cut the tree down instantly because I would make sure my car got around the tree in the middle of the driveway to my garage, and I'm not going to cut a tree down if I can possibly save it. Parking, you know, it's the way society is today. People do have less cars, people are using more taxis, and people do want larger homes. They just simply want a townhouse that's larger than they used to. And maybe it's justified by the fact it's green, it costs less to heat it and maintain it, and it's more durable, but that is the case. This is a green home, and suggestions are made that it's not. This is a very green home. Green from the fact that they're highly insulated homes. Green from the fact that triple glazing. We've got the overhang shading working in the south side for us. What's that? And it's, you know, modular construction as well. Another major green contribution. If anybody was watching 668 going up, it's pretty impressive. Built off-site. Built off-site, brought in as a modular unit, and still has a lot of character to the neighborhood. In closing with that one, yes, I'd like to turn green walls into the back of there, and Yaron and I would be willing to talk with the planner as well in terms of doing some, if people would like to see the front step back more. That's what neighborhood feedback's about, people. If you want to see that kind of thing, we run an open door.
Oh, sorry, if you just
door.
Just the...
Yes, I'll address you. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
It was a plea.
I know.
You know, we run an office that's open to public, and glad to have that kind of dialogue going on. And certainly if there's a discussion that says, you know, I offer right now to reduce the townhouse widths between. That's deliberately done to allow light and breeze to go into the neighbors' home areas. I myself will have a private balcony opposite that, and that's why it's there. It's done deliberately to get that interaction of sun and breeze into the neighborhoods between. We could step back the front and reduce the townhouse space in between. If you wanted to see it back by another couple of feet, I certainly would do that. Yes, Councillor Trevassin.
You're talking about making a few changes sort of here at the last hour here, and I'm just wondering if you would, and I'm torn on this because I'm hearing a lot of concern from the residents there. And it doesn't sound like there was, although there may have been a good effort to communicate with everyone, that there wasn't really a chance for that. That dialogue didn't happen for whatever reason, just with one or two people. And I'm just wondering how you would feel about holding a meeting with some of the other residents and looking at proposing a few of these changes that would reduce the scale, perhaps. There's definitely some discomfort with what's being proposed here that's pretty significant.
Yeah, I think the unfortunate part is that this dialogue should have taken place before. Mm-hmm. Opportunity was there. We sent out over 90 pamphlets out to make sure everybody had one in the surrounding neighborhood. We did, in consultation with a neighbor directly to the east and with the planner, substantially reduce the footprint, both in width and in length. That has been done already. I think people don't realize that. So
okay, but I did hear you say you'd move a few more things around. You'd consider a green wall and other things. So
well, I would prepare to say, and my client's not here, unfortunately, but I'm prepared to say that I know I can convince them into putting in a green wall on the side yards and the rear townhouse, because that's the only place sun comes in, is the south side. So you can do that type of thing.
Well, do you think there would be any purpose in like, we could, one option I have today is to adjourn this and allow some further dialogue on it, just for a month or something. I could do that, and I'm considering that. I just wonder how you feel about that. I didn't ask everybody else that, so
Almost have to leave that up to you. It is up to me.
I just thought, if you think it would be useful, would you be able to offer anything, you know, to...
Are we willing to sit down here in the neighborhood? Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. I can't speak on behalf of my client because they're not here.
Of course. And obviously it's a two-way thing. I mean, if people are willing to come out and participate in that too, or able to. So it's just something. I'm just listening to everything here and mm-hmm. looking at different options.
Okay. Well, and there is the appeal process.
Yeah.
Right. Although actually rezonings can't be appealed. So.
No.
Variances can be appealed, but rezonings cannot. So this is a big decision right here.
Didn't gain by it? I'm not sure. Yeah, but that's... Yeah. Oh, I guess I was referring to the planner in that one, saying if there is, in his thoughts and feedback he's got, to take the front yard back by another couple of feet. Those are offerings I would make. We've already made a substantial reduction in plate size, moved it in substantially 12 feet from the back. That's a substantial change in there.
Now, I realize you're planning this as a triplex.
Yes.
What if you were to reduce your scale to a duplex, say? Could you do something there? I mean, obviously, it'd be reducing your profit margin there, obviously. But, like, there is a concern about the scale here, and I'm really trying to figure out how to address it. I'd hate to see, you know, we realize something positive needs to go forward at some point. Are you open to considering a significant change?
It is a question of scale, Councillor Gervais, but at the same time, as was mentioned before, and both two parts of the conversation. One, you know, our office is receiving a phone call, can we get a 3,000-square-foot duplex? Well, a 3,000-square-foot duplex, if I just made it a single family on that lot, you go almost the same. It's almost the same. So it's not a large difference what we have there now. That's why it you reduce it in scale, but a single family home can be three stories high. This is three stories high. Yeah. It can be the same plate. We move the side yards in, it'd be the same side yard condition. So wouldn't change it.
Okay.
It is a demand of the world today that says we would like to have a green piece of architecture in a great neighborhood, and we want it new.
I get one other question that came up was about the space for the three cars. Is there a space for three cars?
Oh, absolutely.
There's enough space.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right.
No, it's standard. So. And part of that is achieved by cantilevers, so that maybe people don't quite reflect on that, but it's achieved by having the cantilever going out. But, yeah, there's room.
Okay. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much.
I'd like to ask some motion. Should I close the public delegations and then I ask some questions to
sure.
administration? Okay. I move that the – thank you.
Thank you very much.
I move that the report of the public service be taken as read.
So moved.
And I move that the receipt of public representations be concluded.